It's a privilege to be with you all here. I would like to think I'm called to preach. I like to preach, and it's a privilege to preach here. And I have preached in a number of churches in the Caribbean and South America, and other parts of the world, but particularly in the Caribbean and South America. A number of the churches that I was even pastor of then, and some that I didn't pastor, but just preached, they didn't have any musical instruments.
Wow.
Yeah? But what they did was just to use their hands and their voices and clap. And some where they had musical instruments, like a really outdated organ or something, they still had their own musical instruments, like things you knock together, and tambourines. And it's a fantastic idea that even when we have musicians, bring your tambourines and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, man. Look, just think if we had the tambourine here today. Yes. John, you could have had a go. Yeah, with the tambourine. Yeah, okay. It's been amazing so far, and I hope it stays that way. Something caught my eye that George pointed me to in your notices, your sheet for this week. And I thought it applies to me so much. Should I read it for you? It says, the brain is amazing. And it begins from the time we are born and work 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, right up to the time that you get up to speak in public. So spare a thought for me. The brain's gone now. Okay. I'm sure you all have heard this before. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. Yeah, that's a... And said, yeah, and then there is a third verse. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a happy man was he. Because this is after he met Jesus. All right, we were going to have it sung tonight, but my YouTube downloader didn't work. And we tried it here, and it didn't work either. All right, but well done. So, I know you know the story, right? But can I just read it just to put things in context? So, this is from Luke chapter 19, and it's verses 1 to 10, and I'm reading from the NIV, New International Version. And this is how it reads. It's titled, Zacchaeus the Tax Collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's God's word, and we give him thanks for it.
Amen.
Amen. So, who was Zacchaeus? Let's just try and explain that a little. He was, his name,
a little man.
Good, we're coming to the little man, you know. He was short, yeah. Do you know his name mean righteous? You know now. But at first, it's difficult to say that he is righteous. Yeah. As Tony said, we know he was a little man. He was short in terms of his physical height. He's also called a chief tax collector, or some versions of the Bible say what? Chief publican. I don't know if you know, but publican comes from the Latin Bible, publicanus. And chief tax collector or chief publican mean the same thing, right? To collect taxes at the end. So, as chief tax collector, Zacchaeus is likely to have owned his own tax business. And he is the only person in the Bible referred to as a chief tax collector. One of Jesus' disciples was a tax collector, remember? Matthew, called Levi, he was a tax collector. But only Zacchaeus is referred to as a chief tax collector. This guy had his own business. And the way it worked is that Rome, the occupying force at the time, commissioned local people to collect a variety of taxes. And I can tell you, they were taxes and taxes and taxes, lots and lots of taxes, right? Rome even imposed taxes on urine when it was used in the dyeing process, just for everything they wanted tax. So they employed local people, but guess what? They didn't pay them. So the tax collectors made their money by how much more they could collect up and above what they designated taxes were. So they were free to collect as much as they want for themselves. So you could imagine that they were
popular.
Very popular. Unlike our HMRC here, they were hated. And they were hated not only because they worked for Rome, but because of the very high amount they demanded to pay for themselves. Later on, in verse 8 of this story, Zacchaeus said to Jesus, "If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will give back how much? Four times." Mm-hmm. Have you ever wondered why four times?
Leviticus.
Okay, maybe Leviticus, but my reference is Exodus also, right? And 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, verse 12 and 16. What's the relevance? The relevance of four times is that certain crimes in the Old Testament, if they were committed, such as if you stole a sheep, that was considered to be like really serious theft, and you had to make restitution by giving at least, it was the least amount you could give, four sheep for stealing one sheep, right? Four times the amount. So here is a guy, it looked like he's giving a lot, but it's the least amount that he could have given if he classed himself as a thief. So that's where that's come from, right? So in essence, what I'm saying to you is that Zacchaeus is acknowledging himself as a thief. And he became wealthy by demanding extortionate amounts of money from people. So, here is the context then. The context of how Zacchaeus came across Jesus is this. Jesus is traveling through Jericho for the very last time. Right? He's on his way to Jerusalem. to die. Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus. But here is the thing. In a few days' time, Jesus is going to climb a tree himself. A tree on Mount Calvary, the cross, to die for the sins of all the Zacchaeuses of this world. That's the context. So, if you want the topic, I'm calling this sermon Zacchaeus and the Sycamore Tree. All the sermons I've heard about Zacchaeus is all about Zacchaeus. And hardly ever anybody pays any attention to that tree. Well, I want to ask you a question. And I've got a piece of paper and I've got a pen. So this is where you're going to educate me for my next run of this sermon. All right? So, I would like to ask you, why did Zacchaeus climb the sycamore tree? Ready, steady, go. Shout. I'm writing. To get a better view. Okay. Why would he want a better view? He wanted to see Jesus. Okay. To get a better view. Anybody else? Say that again. It's an easy tree to climb. All right. So if it was easy, why other people didn't climb it? They could have seen. Okay. So easy to climb. Yeah.
Zacchaeus was actually smart.
He was smart. Okay.
In a bad way, but he had this successful business of robbing people. But he was astute.
He was astute. Yeah, I go with that. You said at the beginning he was short. So all of that fits in with to have a view. Would you agree with that? Yeah? So he was short.
Also, people wouldn't like, they didn't like him. So he had to stay away from people. And going up a tree was away from the others.
Ah, but do you not think? I'm going to write that down. So stay away. But going up the tree, do you not think he singled out himself? If he's the only one there and they see him?
Because they were all concentrating on Jesus. And so he was...
Okay.
He was keeping away from the crowd.
Something, the tree was positioned in a particular spot.
Right. Okay. Tell us more. You want to say anything more about that?
Yeah, but the tree was positioned in a very good spot or in
This tree was in a strategic place.
That's it.
Yeah.
My question is, why did the writer specifically say a sycamore tree instead of just seeing a tree?
Yeah, I'm supposed to ask the question, George. You're supposed to answer. Listen, man, follow the rules. I asked the question. All right, I'm just teasing you, George.
The sycamore tree is a bit like our oak tree here, except that they are easier to climb.
Yeah.
And the branches are lower and the and you could find a more comfortable seat.
So it could be. But I hope to talk a little bit about the sycamore tree. I'll take one more.
That was where I was going to say that. Well, spread.
That spread out, yeah.
And quite easy to climb.
Good. All right. So we've talked about shortness. We talk about getting a better view, easy to climb. He was smart. Stay away from the crowd. Get out of the crowd, as Mr. McIndoe said. The tree was strategically placed. So I hope to incorporate all of that into what I'm going to say. Right? So, why did Zacchaeus climb the sycamore tree? So let's start with what Tony said at first. Short. So Zacchaeus was physically and spiritually short. Agree with that? Mm-hmm. Okay. And he recognized his shortness and he climbed this tree and he found salvation in Christ. But you know, unlike Zacchaeus, there are people who could become so tall, spiritually tall, that from the height of their towering pride, they no longer see their own spiritual shortness. They do not think, therefore, that they need to climb any tree. Okay, the crowd. Let me talk about the crowd. Have you ever thought that Zacchaeus may not have been the only short person in that crowd? Or the only one who couldn't see Jesus? Because in a crowd you have lots of people. And there is likely to be lots and lots of people who couldn't see or see clearly, right? But according to the record, he is the only one who climbed the tree to get, as somebody said, a better view. All right? The crowd. The crowd can sometimes keep you from having an experience with Jesus. But it's also a safe place to be. Isn't it? The security of being in the crowd. But that same crowd can prevent you from seeing Jesus clearly or having an experience with him. I want to ask you some questions. And here goes. Is there anything that prevents you from having an experience or a greater experience with Jesus? Don't answer. It's for you to take away. Is your life overcrowded with work or worries or too much of doing nothing? You see, that one rings a bell?
Yes.
How many of us have our priorities in the wrong order? You know, many people spend their time accumulating wealth or working endlessly to have a job with more money, more power, and more prestige. I'm probably guilty. And I had to stop and reevaluate things. Then they discover that these things are exactly what's robbing them of quality relationships with family, friends, and ultimately God. You know the author Jack Higgins? Yeah? He was asked what he would like to have known as a boy. And he said that as a little boy, I would have liked to know that when you get to the top of the money tree, the power tree, the prestige tree, that there's nothing there. Yes. And I tell you, I speak from experience. So much so that having reached there, I started to work my way down, back down, before it's too late. Before it was too late. As Christians, we say that we do, all that we do in church is about Christ. Right? That's great. But let me ask you this. Do we sometimes crowd Christ out? Can old-fashioned rituals with concerns about building, I know you probably don't have to worry about this, about buildings and money, our arguments about doctrines and rules, or similar things, can they stop or prevent the wee little people from seeing Jesus? Are there times when we are a bit like that enthusiastic Jericho crowd? We are keen to be near the action, but blocking the view of Christ for others who need to see him. So here is a hard question. Do you sometimes block others from seeing Jesus? By what you do, what you say, how you live, etc. You know, Jesus often calls us to leave the crowd, John. And this could mean, one of the things it could mean is going against the opinions of your friends, the opinions of your families, or even the opinions of the church and public, and in favor of the unchanging laws of God. It said that to be a Christian means we are not crowd or church controlled, but what? Christ controlled. That is so good, I'm going to repeat it. To be a Christian means that we are not crowd or church controlled, but Christ controlled. That's a takeaway point. Zacchaeus climbed a tree because he was short, because of the crowd, to get a better view, because he was smart. The tree was easy to climb. And you know, some sources say, and nobody said this, because he was curious. What do you think? Would you go along with that?
Yes.
I am not going along with it, but I'm going to preach about it. Curiosity. Yeah, a lot of sources talk about how Zacchaeus was curious. A lot of sermons I checked talked about he was curious. And I want to say something about this curiosity, and for this, I'm going to use my imagination. Right, so I'm imagining now. Imagine a possible day in the life of Zacchaeus collecting taxes. This should be exciting, right? So let's go. He goes to a blind man's house whose name is Bartimaeus. This is Zacchaeus, right? Collecting his taxes. And this story is in the very chapter before Luke 19. It's in Luke chapter 18. Blind Bartimaeus. So Zacchaeus goes to this blind man's house and he demands the taxes. But Bartimaeus doesn't have any money to give him. And Zacchaeus gives him, should we say 28 days? Yeah, is that like when they wanted to deport me from the country some years ago, the Home Office used to give me 28 days. Right? If you don't appeal within 28, after 28 days, we'll deport you. So let's go for 28 days, right? Right. So he got an extra 28 days to pay up. So Zacchaeus goes to another house. And a lady there says, "Sir, my husband is demon possessed. He is known as the maniac of Gadara." This story is in Mark chapter 5. "Mr. Zach, he hasn't been home for a long time. He lives in the cemetery." She begs him for more time. Zacchaeus gives her 28 days to pay up. Well, he goes to another house, third house, right? I'll choose one more. And this story is found in Luke chapter 7. A woman opened the door and she's crying. And through her tears, She said, "Mr. Zach, my only son has died, and I have to pay for the funeral. Unexpected expenses, Mr. Zach." Zacchaeus says, "I'll be back in 28 days. One of the penalties for not paying taxes was that somebody like Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, was authorized by Rome to seize their property. He could have taken away the house, the land, etc. And so every day, Zacchaeus is caught between money and mercy, between greed or grace. After 28 days, Zacchaeus is back. And this time, no more sad stories, no more guilt trip. He is determined to get his money. So he goes back to the house of Bartimaeus and said, "I'm looking for a blind man." Bartimaeus said, "I am that man." Zacchaeus said, "You were blind. What happened?" Bartimaeus said, "Mr. Zach, one day I was sitting by the roadside and I heard somebody said that Jesus is coming. Mr. Zach, with my begging cup in hand, I screamed at the top of my voice, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Mr. Zach, he heard my cry. He came to me, put his hands on my eyes, and healed me. And the money I used to spend on doctors, I was able to save up. And Mr. Zach, I've got your money. Here is your money. Mr. Zach, his grace is so amazing that I, who once was blind, can now see. I wish you were there, Mr. Zach." Took his money, scratched his head, and goes to the second house. The same woman from 28 days ago greeted him. Zacchaeus said, "Look, I know your husband lives in the cemetery. He's demon-possessed and not even chains could hold him. But I've come for my money." As he's speaking, a man from inside the house introduced himself and said, "I am that man." "What happened?" Zacchaeus said. He said, "Mr. Zach, one day I was in the cemetery. Jesus of Nazareth and some men with him were coming across in a boat. And I screamed at them to go away. But Mr. Zach, Jesus came to me and spoke with such simplicity and authority. Every demon in me came out. And Jesus sent them into a herd of pigs that then ran and jumped off the cliff into the sea. And they all drowned, Mr. Zach. Mr. Zach, I got me family back. I am in me right mind. And I got a good job. Here is your money." He said, "Mr. Zach, the places I used to go, I go no more. The things I used to say, I say no more. The things I used to do, I do no more, because Jesus sorted me out." Zacchaeus doesn't know what to say, speechless. So he goes to his third house again, third house back. A little boy greeted him. Zacchaeus said, I'm looking for your mother who buried your brother 28 days ago. Mr. Zacchaeus, I have no brother. I am that little boy. Zacchaeus said, son, you don't understand. I mean your brother who died 28 days ago. Mr. Zacchaeus, I am that boy. I was dead, but I am no longer dead. Zacchaeus said, what happened? The boy said, look, my mama told me that they were on the way to bury me. She said that Jesus was walking into town and the funeral procession was walking out of town to the cemetery. Jesus was coming in and my mama and the funeral procession were going out. And my mama said, if you ever cross paths with Jesus, something is going to happen. If you ever cross paths with Jesus, something is going to happen. Mama said that Jesus saw her crying. He went to my coffin and said, little boy, get up. Mr. Zach, you should have been there to see it for yourself. My heart started to beat. I got my breath back and my eyes opened. Mr. Zach, my mother got a refund for my funeral. And she left this money for you. Here is your money. Mr. Zach, I was dead, but Jesus made me live again. A blind man is able to see. A demon-possessed man got his right mind back. A dead boy is now alive. My imagination tells me that stories like these and similar ones made Zacchaeus speechless. He is blown away. So when he heard that Jesus is in Jericho, my imagination tells me Zacchaeus felt compelled. I must see this man Jesus. Some people call it curiosity. This is not curiosity. This is more than being smart. This is more than a tree that is easy to climb. This is more than just being short. So I ask myself, what drove this wealthy man, this influential man, to risk humiliation and ridicule to climb a sycamore tree? Was it just curiosity? Let me share a story with you that might help to shed light on this. A person was seeking God and went to speak to a Christian. And this God seeker asked the Christian, how can I find God? And the Christian took him to the sea, held on to him, and dunked his head under the water, immersed him in the sea, and held him there for a while. In what seemed to be a long time. Then the Christian asked him, what did you desire most when your head was under the water? He replied, air. I wanted to breathe. Air is what I desired the most. And the Christian said, when you desire God as much as you desired air, you will find him. That's not curiosity, is it? When you desire God as much as you desired air, you will find him. That's not curiosity. I believe that one of the reasons Zacchaeus climbed that sycamore tree was because of something stronger than curiosity. He had a desire to find God in Jesus. When you desire God as much as you desired ear, you will find him. Saint Augustine said, and I quote, "O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in you. O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in you." So I want to close, because I promised you to say something about this sycamore tree. So I want to end by saying something about this sycamore tree. In my younger days, a little while ago, climbing trees was an almost daily event for me growing up. And most times, it was to pick fruits, right? Sometimes it was for fun. And sometimes it was to avoid paying the entrance fees to watch international cricket. So you climb these trees just outside of the ground and you get the best view. Right? And I think I recall the last one I climbed was England was playing West Indies. David Gowan, I saw it for free. So, look, in the part of the world where I grew up, climbing trees was something that only certain people did. Wealthy people and those in certain professions didn't climb trees. It was like the poorer people or the lower working class, if you could put it that way, they were the tree climbers, right? Okay, I was one of them. So now you know my status, right? Okay. To answer Eric's point, verse 5 in that story says, when Jesus came to that spot, have you ever stopped to think about that? When he came to that spot. You know, this is a fascinating statement, and I checked it out. In the Greek, it means a place and a time that's been pre-planned by God. Exactly how he wanted it. When he came to that spot, it's similar to when God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, it's likely that this tree has been there for hundreds of years, just growing, and people wonder, what's that tree doing there? That's possible. It's also possible that there was no tree there. And Jesus willed, let there be a sycamore tree. And a sycamore tree grew there and then for Zacchaeus to climb. When he came to that spot. If you truly want to have a greater experience with Christ, let me tell you this. There is nothing that can stop you. Nothing can stop you if you desired a greater experience with Christ. It could mean God making a sycamore tree to grow there and then just for you to have that experience. And like Zacchaeus, we may never have a certain experience or a greater experience with Jesus if we remain on the level that we are. You know why? Because there are too many material things on this level, and there are no too many people in our way. So when it becomes difficult to see And here Jesus, when it seems that I'm stagnated or not much is happening in my Christian life and my experience with Jesus, I invite you to ask, is it time for me, for you, for us to climb a sycamore tree? What could some of those sycamore trees be? What could some of those trees be? Perhaps pray more. Make more time each day to stop. Be aware of God's presence. Talk to Him. And then, here is the key bit. Be silent and listen. I am guilty of talking too much in prayer. Stop. Be silent and listen. It's amazing all the things you can hear when you're silent. Read the scriptures more. Make more of worship time like this. Give more, doing more for those in need. And how about repentance if we have done wrong? Yes. Sycamore trees to climb. So I leave you with two challenges. First one. What sycamore tree do you still need to climb to experience more of the presence and power of Christ? Second challenge. For each of us here who has already climbed the sycamore tree, do you know Christ calls you to be a sycamore tree? He calls you to be a sycamore tree yourself. Someone through whom others can see and hear Jesus and discover His amazing and awesome presence and power through you, a sycamore tree. So that is Zacchaeus and the sycamore tree. May God bless all of you.